Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen on this Tuesday morning, 2 weeks until Election Day, and the countdown continues. Meanwhile, disturbing two separate stories, but yet involving stabbings. Paul, you had them in the newscast, and a lot of people will be concerned about this stabbing in the Mellon Park playground at Shadyside.
This is a normally quiet and peaceful place. This is not, I don't think I've ever done a story about Mellon Park violence in the time that I've been working here, more than 15 years.
Two men in critical condition with stab wounds in the chest. A third was apparently cut, but not considered to be life-threatening.
Right, it was a wrist injury.
And then this Montour Trail stabbing.
Which is even more concerning because so many people use the trail. I mean, you have to be wondering what happened here.
Yeah, you want to feel safe, to your point. A lot of people with their kids.
Was this just a personal vendetta or some kind of disagreement, or was this a random thing? And, you know, that's what we'd be going through. I used to live right on the Montour Trail and enjoyed riding my bike on it and going for short walks. And, you know, it's just a shame that this kind of thing happens.
So this wouldn't be an area where you would be suspect to run into this kind of encounter?
No, this is a,
not at all.
This is suburban, you know, Allegheny County. This is, like Mellon Park, relatively speaking, a pretty safe place.
These stories do not seem to be connected in any way. It's just coincidence,
yeah.
I believe. But
attention getting, nonetheless.
Yeah, it does get your attention, especially since so many people, to your point, enjoy going out, being on the trails. Also, this closure of the Panther Hollow Bridge, Schenley Park, has a lot of people, because we had just talked about, they were feeling pretty good about the bridges around the region. They made some progress, done extensive inspections, but I guess
steel truss problems.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds bad.
Eric Seltzer, who's the city's chief engineer, can't say exactly when it'll reopen, but it spans Panther Hollow near Anderson Playground in the city's Squirrel Hill neighborhood. Shut down over the weekend to vehicular traffic after inspectors recommended closing it pending further analysis.
Well, the mayor's spokesman, Larry, said the inspectors were concerned corrosion of the steel in some areas could weaken the bridge. And I understand why they would be more cautious now after what happened with the Panther. You know?
Yeah, but
Burn Hollow, right?
Isn't the Schenley Park Bridge still closed? I mean, that's from Boulevard of the Allies that goes into Schenley Park.
I can't answer that, but I assume that it is.
Yeah, but that's Panther Hollow is in that general region. So we'll have to ask Ellen how you circumnavigate that now, right?
This is something they hope they can, you know, deal with relatively quickly, at least address for the time being. But
well, we'll see.
Well, let's look at it this way. It could be interpreted by, you know, a number of people as a good thing, that they're taking these proactive steps and you know, acting out of caution.
So
the last thing is we want is another collapse.
True. I mean, I realize major inconvenience for people in the region. That leaves drivers to detour. So they're going to detour two bridges. Yeah, Schenley Park's bridge has been closed for a long time and still not expected to be completed until 2026.
Is that the Charles Anderson Bridge we're talking about?
All I know it is the Schenley part. Yeah. Right at the end of Boulevard of the Allies.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly where you're talking about.
Right into. So you're looking at all the things in Schenley Park: Phipps Conservatory, a golf course, carousel, skating rink, playgrounds, other amenities. It makes it challenging to drive through Schenley Park right now. So
it most certainly does. And then you've got Panther Hollow Road was a short distance away. This is not all that far apart. And yes, it is called the Anderson Bridge. This one that you call the Schenley Bridge, which I assume many people do.
Charles Anderson Memorial Bridge.
Yeah. Most people would call it the Schenley Bridge.
And by the way, construction continues there. They're also going to close it to pedestrians and cyclists coming up in 2 weeks. So November 4th. You won't be able to cross it even walking or on a cycle.
Well, they're picking the right time of the year to do that.
But it won't open.
Foot traffic will be far much much lighter at that time of the year, right?
It's been closed for a couple of years now. What's the tie-up? $56 million.
That's what the tie-up is, making the upgrades.
All right, and also, obviously...
They're thinking 2026, by the way, they'll be done.
That's what they said. It seems like, you know, they rebuilt the Fern Hollow Bridge, it seems like, in months. This one's taken...
Isn't it amazing what they can do when they want to get it done?
When they have the right... Well, there was politics involved.
Well, that's exactly right.
And that's okay when you're getting what you need in the moment.
Look what happened with the interstate out in Philadelphia. Remember the 95 collapse? And Governor Shapiro moved heaven and earth to get that thing reopened in record time. I mean, that was a priority. It got done. Same thing with the bridge here.
Yeah, this bridge has taken way too long to finish. And then 2 weeks to the election coming up right after the news at 7 o'clock, politics at work. How's it going with your coworkers?
We're lucky here. I don't know that we have had any discord here.
You have differences of opinion, but it hasn't gotten ugly, surprisingly, off the air.
No.
On the air, sometimes, with some of our talk shows.
Well, I can understand that angle of it, but we have a variety of viewpoints here, and that's fine with me. But in terms of behind the scenes, I know in my area of the ranch here, the old radio ranch, the newsroom is a pretty calm place where I don't think anyone's had a serious disagreement of any kind.
Which is shocking.
And we really don't. When we discuss the election and politics, we're looking at it from a news standpoint. And what catches our attention, what we're interested in. But
make no mistake, though, in many workplaces, this is an issue.
It sure is.
And
it's a neighborhood issue.
Neighborhood, family,
somebody puts
friends.
A sign up in their yard and it makes the other neighbor mad.
There's an area where I drive through to get to work every morning, and it's interesting. On one side of the road, on this one property, it's all Trump signs, and directly across the street, matching every single sign.
That's no coincidence.
Are the Harris Wall signs. And, neighbor against neighbor and family member. A lot of friendships have been spoiled by political talk. So what do you do at the workplace, though? Because you have to maintain a professional...
Well, don't talk about politics is a good way to go.
Or religion.
Yeah.
And keep that in mind. Thanksgiving's just around the corner. Otherwise, you won't be talking to anyone but yourself. Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go. AUDACY. Keep you posted on breaking news, weather information, even Friday Night Lights and sports. And our team does a fantastic job. North Allegheny Pine Richland last Friday came down to the last few minutes. It was a thriller. And believe it or not, this is the last Friday, Paul, before the playoffs. The regular season wraps up, I believe. This is it. And then they get right into the playoffs.
So quick.
Where did it go?
Yeah.
Student loans. Aaron, do you have any... I don't want to make this a personal question if you don't want to answer, but just curious. Do you have any student loans?
I do have student loans.
All right. Federal student loan payments for millions are going to stay on hold for at least the next 6 months. CBS's Matt Piper.
It impacts about 8 million Americans enrolled in the White House's Saving on a Valuable Education, or SAVE, plan, which is temporarily blocked by a federal appeals court. Those who signed up for the plan are excused from their monthly payments and will be put in an interest-free general forbearance. The 8 million borrowers in SAVE and anyone who has applied for the debt relief program should expect to remain in interest-free forbearance for at least 6 more months, pending the outcome of legal challenges.
Yeah, the legal sparring that's going on, the Education Department has forgiven $5.5 billion in student debt for 414,000 under the SAVE plan. But will it stick? So we'll find out, I guess. And it's going to be, as most things, pushed past the election. So there will be a lot of decisions, no matter who wins, Trump or Harris, on what they're going to do with a lot of things post-election. Because a lot of that stuff's been kicked down the road.
It has, Larry. And so far, the Biden administration hasn't done so well in court with these.
No.
I know that the state's attorney general, attorneys general, and a number of states have gotten together to try and stop some of the loan forgiveness.
He's been persistent. It's like he gets blocked and then
The Supreme Court said, you can't do it, Mr. President. This is something that Congress has to do. And
it's unlikely.
And he's been trying to find workarounds since. A piece here and a piece there. By the way, our last game, which comes up on Friday on the 25th.
For regular season high school football.
We don't know who it is yet. The fans are going to vote on which matchup it is.
That's a great point. We had Dan Zangrilli on Friday to talk about that, and I think it's really great. You can go to our website and you, the fans, vote which game you want us to cover.
I love this. I mean, we had some great lineup this year, some very good matches. The most recent one is a great example, Richland and North Allegheny.
Yeah.
Richland, you know?
That came down to the wire. Pine Richland was leading. It was seesaw battle, packed stadium, homecoming in North Allegheny, and a big, big win for the Tigers. And then this Friday, they wrap up the regular season. So if you want to vote and decide which game we're going to cover, just go to kdkradio.com. When's the last high school football game you went to, Paul? They are pretty entertaining. Just the whole atmosphere.
The last one, boy, it's been a couple, 2 or 3 years before the pandemic. I think before the pandemic, I saw West Allegheny play at home.
Oh, they're always good.
Are you kidding? Man, really good.
Back in the day with Pelko, Bob Pelko, the coach, mm-hmm. Tyler Pelko, his brother Luke.
Great turnout at the game, too.
Doran Dickerson, who works next door, the fan, Pitt All-American, NFL alum. Yeah, we have a rich history in the region, and we're proud to cover it. Friday Night Lights, powered by Bowser Chevrolet here on KDK. And the Smart Out Financial pregame kicks off at 6 every Friday, and we're going to take you right through the playoffs to the state championship. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. 2 weeks till the election day. What are the candidates all doing? Let's start. CBS's Jared Hill.
Trump's focus on North Carolina, despite winning it twice before, is a sign of just how tight the race is in these battlegrounds. Meanwhile, the vice president is hoping to cement a blue wall up north with potentially pivotal red building blocks.
You can vote your conscience and not ever have to say a word to anybody.
Former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney appealing to Republican women voters for Democratic presidential nominee Vice President Kamala Harris, taking the sobering message through battlegrounds Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan with the VP Monday.
The vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us.
The two were trying to sway voters who went for Nikki Haley in the primaries, some even after she left the race.
I do believe Donald Trump to be an unserious man, but the consequences of him ever being in the White House again are brutally serious.
If you wouldn't hire somebody to babysit your kids, like, you shouldn't make that guy the president of the United States.
And I'm proud.
Trump in North Carolina leveled a new baseless attack against Harris, claiming she'd target religious groups if elected.
Christians will not be safe with Kamala Harris as President of the United States.
The former president also repeated false claims about FEMA disaster relief funds after visiting Asheville, a community devastated by Hurricane Helene.
They spent their money on illegal migrants. They spent their money. They didn't have any money left for North Carolina.
Today, Trump courts Latino voters in Florida before heading back to North Carolina for a rally. Harris is off the campaign trail, but her media blitz continues.
The running mates are also barnstorming the battlegrounds. You got Senator J.D. Vance targeting Latino voters in Arizona, while Governor Tim Walz stumps in Wisconsin with former President Obama on this first day of early voting there.
CBS is Jared Hill. Yeah, you forget that voting in many cases, including in Pennsylvania, is already underway with mail-in balloting. And again, Donald Trump will be in Doral, Florida early. Talk to Latino leaders there. Kamala Harris doing interviews with NBC and Telemundo. The NBC interview will air this evening. And
the numbers that I pay attention to are the rolling averages that are kept track of by Real Clear Politics. They have a website called realclearpolling.com. And what they do, Larry, is they follow each of the battleground states as the polls come out. So we have polls dating back. We have 10 polls in Pennsylvania dating back to the end of September, right up through the 19th of this month. And these are all different polls. Trafalgar, Atlas, Rasmussen, New York Times, The Hill, Emerson, UMass Lowell, Quinnipiac, Wall Street Journal. So these are all, you know, fairly well-known polls.
Right.
So in these last 10 polls, Donald Trump has won seven of the 10. He's won the last three. He's up by 0.8 in the overall average in Pennsylvania. Arizona, he has a 1.8 lead based on the same metrics. Nevada, he's up by 0.7. Wisconsin, he's up by 0.4. Michigan, 1.2 lead. North Carolina, 0.5 lead. And Georgia, 1.8 lead. He leads in all the top battlegrounds now.
But not by more than a margin of error.
Well, here's the thing. This is the reason why this is jumping out at me. It's because Trump has outperformed his polling in the last two presidential elections by, you know, several points. So if that holds up this time around, if the polling is off again, because they're having trouble finding the people who they really want to talk to, the pollsters are, you know, it could be that he has a larger lead, or who knows how it's going to turn out. It could wind up being that where they're getting too much of a sample for Trump, and the turnout for Harris will be significant enough to, it'll be the other way around.
This is why they're imploring both parties to energize their base to vote, period.
Yeah.
Just, they want you to come out and vote. Don't sit on the sidelines. So whoever you're going to vote for, they're asking that you get up off the couch, put down the phone, and vote.
Now, listen, what happened in Georgia has really caught my imagination and my attention. Last time I checked, which was yesterday, they had more than 1.5 people had already voted in Georgia. Their new voting system is producing a record turnout. It produced a record turnout in the last election. And now they're going to have what looks to be a huge turnout in Georgia. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, so we'll see. It may be in 2 weeks. We won't know necessarily the results of the election on election night like we used to back before the 2016 election.
Well, you know, back then, they couldn't call a lot of the races. They were so close, like many of them are right now in the battleground states. You know, it was a lot easier to call an election when one of the candidates, like Reagan, got 500 electoral votes.
Oh, my God.
You know, game over, right? So what we really need in this election is, we're not going to see, I don't think we're going to see anything resembling a landslide, but we sure do need a really convincing result.
Otherwise, and you know what's going to happen
then
regardless.
We're gonna, one side or the other, we'll be talking about, you know, bad things.
Right. So that's the latest. That's what the candidates are doing today, and we'll keep you posted as the two-week countdown continues. Coming out right after the news at the top of this hour, we're going to talk to a human resources expert about dealing with politics in the office or your workplace. If you don't work in an office, just dealing with your coworkers when it comes to politics.
I'm reminded of that old anti-drug slogan from the Reagan years. Just say no.
Just say no. I don't want to talk about it.
Safe way to go, right?
Or snide remarks here and there. So I'm interested to hear how he's suggesting you handle that. Meanwhile, how happy do you think Major League Baseball is that you have the Yankees of New York and the Los Angeles Dodgers
in the World Series. If you're interested in ratings for television, it's market number one and market number two. Can't do better than that.
Little sidebar, the auction for the ball that Los Angeles Dodgers phenom Shohei Ohtani hit to score his 50th home run and inaugurate the 50-50 club ends today. Now, the auction house, Golden calls it one of the most significant pieces of modern baseball memorabilia to go under the hammer of an auction. They are estimating right now over $2 million for that one baseball.
I recognize that that he's been batting only this year due to concerns about, I guess, an arm injury of some kind. He can bat okay, but they don't want him pitching and making that worse. I guess he'll go back to pitching at some point, maybe next season. But what we're witnessing here is one of the great moments in Major League Baseball of all time. This guy is right up there in with the greatest players list, including Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, you know, Pete Rose, you know, Johnny. Pick out the big ones, the really awesome Nolan Ryan, right?
Yeah, this is.
I mean, this guy is on another level entirely.
But who could have
and how thrilling it is to watch him play
a $2 million baseball. Imagine how much money you have for that to be even a thought.
And here's the deal. So then you get it, and then what, right?
I had a weird dream.
You get it, and then it's like the wanting to get it is more important than the actual having, right?
Where would this come from? I dreamt, and Aaron, feel free to weigh in, because we're all sleep-deprived in this industry, in the morning shows.
Actually,
I dreamt that I met a guy who was grotesquely wealthy. And I said, oh, well, how did you make your money? He said, zinc. And I'm like, okay.
Interesting.
Now, this is a dream. It just reoccurred to me now. This was from last night. And he goes, yeah, I'm a zinc magnet. I'm like, oh. And I was trying to think, well, what do you use zinc for that would make it such a lucrative thing to own?
Right.
Or mine or whatever. He said, would you like $1 million? I said, sure. Then I woke up to
wow.
the alarm going.
Okay, that was interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe this has something to do with going to the dermatologist yesterday, and I was looking at that zinc stuff you're supposed to put on your nose
yes.
to protect your nose, you know, like lifeguards used to do.
Yeah, and it's so interesting with dreams, especially for us. If you're asleep, you know, we're getting up in the middle of the night, your brain will take small things that you saw or took in throughout the day.
And then make a story about it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what happens. You have these various things that you notice,
yep.
and then there's floating around, and so your conscious mind is trying to organize it into some kind of a story, and
yes.
that becomes the dream.
I'm a little frightened, though, that I met a zinc magnet and wanted to give me $1 million.
You said, sure.
This is after being in a paper robe for 20 minutes with your backside exposed. Let me look at
gosh.
That. Go ahead, look at it.